Joining us on the line now from the States is Mitzi Sorretto. She's an author and anthology editor of multi-genre fiction and non-fiction. She has her own web TV channel called Mitzi TV, which covers the quirky side of London. She's back with us on the Book Show to talk about her latest book, Phantom the Immortal. It's a debut writing collaboration from Mitzi and another best-selling author, Ashley Lister. It is a contemporary erotic sequel that relocates the original character from Gaston Leroux's classic novel The Phantom of the Opera to present-day Paris. Welcome to the Book Show, Mitzi.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Oh, it's great to have you with us, and what an amazingly interesting story you've decided to tell.
Well, yeah, actually, that started 10 years ago. This project has been around for a while, so yeah, after 10 years, we finally got it out.
Oh, congratulations. And where did the idea come from that you wanted to do a sequel to The Phantom of the Opera?
You know, I honestly don't know. I mean, like I said, 10 years ago was when the seed was starting to germinate. But at the time, you know, people weren't really doing sequels to classic novels. This was sort of a whole new thing. And, you know, maybe it was inspired by the fact that, the play was such a hit. I don't know. I do recall watching it on video and saying, hey, you know, let's take a stab at that.
Yeah. And are you presumably a huge fan of The Phantom of the Opera?
You know, I'm sort of so-so on the play, but of course I've seen the classic film and that all really kind of stuck with me. And it was just such an interesting character and, you know, the whole idea behind the storyline, it was just really timeless.
Yeah. So tell me about for people who don't know the story of The Phantom of the Opera, tell us about the main characters and where you've sort of taken them.
Well, obviously, the main character, the Phantom, he was a composer, and he lives beneath the Paris Opera House. He had had a disfiguring accident, hence the mask. The mask isn't an affectation. He's really hiding disfigurement. And he's just been living under there, and this is in the original, but he continues to live under there in our version. And he hears this young soprano, Christine, and he just becomes obsessed with the idea of really bringing her to become the greatest soprano there is. And the original novel, that is basically what he does. And there's lots of romance and underlying currents of, probably a bit of eroticism. And essentially, the version that we did, we decided to keep the Phantom alive all these years. He's still living beneath the Opera House. And a new soprano comes on to audition, and he hears her, and he feels it's his Christine back from the dead, and it goes from there. He takes her under his wing, so to speak, but he's been under that opera house a long time, getting quite hot and bothered, so.
I bet it was fun to write, was it?
Yes, it was. You know, we kind of wrote it in an unusual way because working with another author is not really, I haven't really been that accustomed to doing that. So we each took on the character. I wrote the chapter as Christine. Ashley would write the next chapter as the Phantom. And we'd basically send the work back and forth and continue it until it finally finished. And we also structured the book with acts and scenes to have that theater element also going forward. So that's how the book came about. So we have two different voices writing the two different characters.
And did it work well writing it like that? Were you able to allow the other partner to do what they wanted to do?
Yeah, I think it worked brilliantly. I'm actually shocked at how well it came out. And, I honestly think that's what I mean about being the voices so distinctive with each of us writing the voice. I think it probably serves the book better than maybe even having a single author on it.
It's another perspective, I suppose.
I suppose so, because then, of course, I never quite knew what I was getting because I'm not in Ashley's brain and he's not in my brain. So, we were able to kind of respond to what the other person did.
But there has to be an element of trust there, and you obviously have to very, very much like each other's work in order to not say, no, that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking it should be more like this.
Well, of course, if there were some editorial input, we both would offer that. Ashley and I are actually quite good friends for many years as well, so we don't need to be shrinking violets if we think something isn't working.
Oh, that's good.
That worked.
you were able to say then.
Exactly. We've both been around a while. We have thick skins.
Yeah. And did you feel a certain amount of pressure because you were taking on characters that already existed? Were you aware that people who were fans of either the book or the musical or the film might be ready to go, no, that would never happen. He wouldn't say it like that, or she wouldn't be wearing that, or...
Well, I didn't really think about that because I've actually done this something similar when I did Pride and Prejudice, Hidden Lusts. And, you know, when you're dealing with the Jane Austen fans, you can get, yes, a lot of mud slung at you. They're kind of precious about it sometimes. So I know I wasn't really worried about that, and I don't think Ashley was either. We just we really felt we took on the original characters and brought them into the 21st century and, you know, put a bit more reality, less of the suppression that you saw with the original novel.
Mm. And can you tell us a little bit more about something that happens in the story without giving too much away?
I don't want to give too much away. Well, in the end of the original novel, he does abduct Christine and keeps her beneath the opera house, and then, you know, there's a big rescue scene with her partner, boyfriend, whatever you want to call him. There is a sort of another romantic interest that she has as well. So we've got this competing, the two men competing for her love. But, you know, the Phantom has an interesting way of training her voice. He has some very interesting ideas to how to get her to respond with her singing. so essentially, he's got many things planned for her down beneath that opera house, and she succumbs to that, and she goes from being someone who's rather proper, even though she was a 21st century lady, she's a bit proper, to someone who actually surprises the Phantom. So, you know, we do want to, I don't want to give the surprise away when it's between, you know, the Phantom and her boyfriend, shall we say, her other paramour.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a lot of tension, a lot of sexual tension, a lot of, you know, who should she pick, all of that going on. I don't want to give too many details away because it's basically just getting caught up in the story and seeing how these characters have evolved. Mm. And, you know, the fact that the Phantom is immortal in our story, obviously, since he's been down there since the late 1800s.
And with the idea of bringing eroticism into the story and into the novel, did both you and Ashley write parts of that? I mean, do you have the same idea of what is erotic?
I think Ashley's probably a bit more out there than I am. But we just basically, like I said, we had to address it from whatever he sent me or I sent him. We had to respond to that, but we responded as that particular character did. So I think we're pretty pretty religious as far as being religious to the character and what that character would think or do. You know, like I said, the Phantom's been down there a long time, and you know, when he thinks his Christine is back from the dead, you can imagine the turmoil and the emotions that it stirs up in him. So, but no, we had no problem with that.
Great stuff. And I have to ask you about your TV channel as well, covering the quirky side of London. What's your connection to London?
Well, I was, of course, living in the area for many years. Unfortunately, we've had to hang up our hat on Mitzi TV because my friend and cameraman passed away.
Oh.
Yeah, so we've not been pursuing that. But, you know, I've been doing all kinds of other things. I've got a quirky crime cozy mystery series that I write with my famous bear, Teddy Tetaloo, which most people know him from my photos. So that's the Thelonious Tea Bear Chronicles. And, you know, I just basically working on different writing projects, traveling a lot, doing the odd appearance here and there.
Busy, busy.
Yeah, I was just in Santa Fe a few weeks ago doing an author appearance in New Mexico, so, you know, not too far from Walter White's territory.
Oh, wow, scary stuff. Oh, Mitzi, it's lovely to have you back with us on the book show. Thank you for joining us. If listeners want to find out more about you and all of your books, all of your projects, they can have a look on your website. It's mitzisoretto.com. And of course, they can get a copy of your latest book that we've been chatting about today, along with Ashley Lister. It's called Phantom the Immortal. Thanks for being with us, Mitzi.
Thank you, Hannah.